I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot of millionaires do have a business. So if we want to build wealth, it's really important for us to try to diversify the income streams that we have.
In Australia, actually, dividends is quite big.
Capital gains from appreciated assets. A lot of millionaires do own property. You were sharing the story about how you thought, okay, if I bought $100 worth of Apple stock at that time with that $100, you would have like $3,000 today?
Yeah, that's right.
I got 2,000 shares. When I was able to cash out my shares, they accidentally sent me this list of like how much everyone in the company made. And oh my gosh, people, some people made. Today, we're discussing the 7 secret income streams that most millionaires have. Are you ready, Pablo?
I'm ready to uncover those secrets.
Hey friends, this is Queenie.
And Pablo.
And welcome back to another episode. Pablo, what is your money win?
My money win is that this week was Valentine's Day and we did not go out to a restaurant. We went out to do a picnic. It was basically like we bought some nice food and it was in the park and we had a really nice time and it did not cost more than, you know, any other really night, but it made it special because it was a really nice picnic. And we actually got really lucky because it started raining as soon as we left.
Yeah, literally, like we just got in the car. And then maybe 30 seconds after we got in the car, we packed up all our stuff. It started raining, like really heavy. And we were like, oh my gosh, we are so lucky. We left at the perfect time.
Yeah, because it started to drizzle a bit. And we were like, oh, maybe we should go. And then it stopped, but we still left or packed up. And then we're like almost thinking, did we leave too early? And it just started pouring.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, we got very, very lucky there. My money win is that we also made chocolate covered strawberries for the first time and chocolate covered dates. And I feel like this is something that everyone should be doing. You know, whenever you have like a potluck or like, you know, going to a friend's place, you don't know what to bring, chocolate covered strawberries. Honestly, they're so good. They're so cheap. You just buy some strawberries, you buy some chocolate, you heat up the chocolate in the microwave and you dip the strawberries in the chocolate. Like it really is not that hard. And if you want to kick it up a notch a little bit, make it a bit extra fancy, you can put some like gold flakes on them. So we bought this like kind of like these gold flakes, so it looks really fancy. Or you could even get some like chopped nuts and kind of like sprinkle those on top so it looks extra fancy. But yeah, such a cheap, you know, idea. And it looks like it costs like a lot of money. So yeah, good hack.
It is a great hack, you know. And just buying raw ingredients and making your own thing, it always tastes better, I feel like.
It does. It really, really does. Just remember that anything that we talk about in this podcast is general and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. You can read our full financial services guide in the description. We would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of our land, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Okay, so the reason why we know that most millionaires have these 7 streams of income is because there was actually this report that was published by the IRS, and the IRS is essentially the tax office in the US. In 2005, they published this report called Over the Top, How Tax Returns Show That the Very Rich Are Different from You and Me. And in this report, they revealed that most millionaires actually have around 7 streams of income. And there are some income streams that are more common that millionaires have, which we wanted to discuss in this podcast episode. So if we want to build wealth, it's really important for us to try to diversify the income streams that we have so we don't have to rely on just one. Because when you think about it, imagine you're a table, you know? You cut off one leg of the table. The table still can stand, you know, like there's 3 more legs. But if you're a table with only one leg, you cut off the leg, you can't stand anymore, you know?
And imagine a table with 7 legs.
Exactly. Imagine a table with seven legs. That's very true, you know? Try to visualize it. So that's why it's important for us to try and diversify our income streams. Even if it's like a tiny, tiny income stream at the beginning, like, you know, you make 52 cents in bank interest 1 year, you know what? That's a win because it's a new income stream. So we're going to talk about it. All right. So the first one is capital gains from appreciated assets. So this is a really interesting one. So when you buy assets, so for example, stocks or shares or even crypto these days, you know, some of those assets can appreciate in value, which means that they are worth more over time. And essentially, the difference between what you bought that asset for and what you sold it for, that difference is your capital gain. So let's say, for example, you buy a stock for $50 and then you later sell it for $100. Your capital gain is $50 then. And yeah, so that's one of the income streams these millionaires have, that is capital gains from appreciated assets because they have been accumulating assets over the years. So something interesting for us to take away. What do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, because for example, like let's say you look at Apple and, you know, I mean, you could have buy like a Apple shuffle like back in the days, or you could have buy Apple shares back in the days, like 10 years ago. And look at how much it appreciated over time. It's like insane.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, in another episode, you were sharing the story about how you found $100 on the ground and then you decided to buy an iPod shuffle with that money. And then you checked the price of Apple stock and you thought, okay, if I bought $100 worth of Apple stock at that time with that $100, you would have like $3,000 today or something. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I guess you always think it's too late, you know, to buy something. We were just talking to one of our friend, Mehdi, earlier today, and he was sharing these stories that one of his friend told one of his other friend to invest in crypto when it was literally like $60. And then a couple of months later, it was $160. And then that friend thought it was too late to invest because it's like, it's already like, you know, 3x. But it's like, actually, if you see it today, you'd be like, it's so cheap back in the days.
I know. The price of Bitcoin, I was looking today, $70,000. Can you believe it? Not that we're saying sell everything and buy crypto, you know. We do have a little bit of crypto in our portfolio, but it is money we're prepared to lose, 5 to 10%, just to hedge our bets, you know, just in case it takes off. But we're also comfortable completely losing that money. Remember, it is speculative. But yeah, that's so true. You always think it's too late. And yeah, and then you look back and you're like, damn it. Should have done it. So the next one, also related to investing, is dividend income. So dividends are essentially the profits that companies decide to distribute to their shareholders. Usually when you buy a stock or an ETF, these dividends can range anywhere from 1% to 5%. And this is honestly such a good form of passive income. I just love it when we receive our dividends every year because I'm just like, honestly, any money that you don't have to work for is amazing. Even if you're just starting out investing and you make a dividend of 3 cents, like, isn't that amazing? Like, you did not have to work for that 3 cents, you know? And, you know, it can improve over time. It really can. And it can actually turn into quite a good amount of money that, you know, you could use to take a holiday, take some time off work. You know, the possibilities are endless. It just gives you options in the future.
And in Australia, actually, dividends is quite big because those big companies in Australia, it's harder for them to grow. So they usually reinvest or give their profits as dividends.
Yeah, that's right. So when you compare the Australian stock market to other stock markets around the world, so for example, like the US stock market, the Australian stock market actually does have quite high dividend yields compared to the rest of the world because Australia is a small country and a lot of our big companies can't really grow that much. They don't really expand overseas, so they decide to just give their profits back to their shareholders. Whereas like companies in the US, for example, they are more growth focused. So instead of giving the dividends out, they would prefer to reinvest their profits back into the business to grow. So yeah, very interesting point. So the next one is interest. And this is another really cool form of passive income. An example of interest is the interest that you receive from putting your money into a savings account. So when you store some of your savings in a savings account, some savings accounts do pay interest on that. So at the moment, we do have pretty high interest rates. You can find savings accounts with interest rates around 5%. And yeah, it's just kind of like a little bit of a benefit that some banks give to their customers for storing their savings there. But yeah, I think something interesting as well about interest is if we do want to build wealth and we want to, you know, become millionaires, it's important that we are on the receiving end of interest and not on the giving end of interest, because you can also pay interest on things like credit card statements. So for example, if you're late with your credit card statement and, you know, you forget to pay it or you don't pay it on time, then you will also pay interest. And the interest rate on credit cards is really, really high. It's about 22% per year, which is really, really high. So if we want to be wealthy, it's important for us to look at ways that we can be on the receiving end of interest and not on the giving end of interest, you know? That's also one of the reasons why when we do use credit cards, Pablo and I always pay back everything that we owe in full, on time, every month. So we don't pay any interest. We just receive the interest from our high interest savings account. What do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, I think interest is really important because everyone has a bank account, but not everyone is receiving the same interest on their money, right? So looking regularly at are you getting the best interest that you could get on your money is quite important, because it's literally as simple as changing bank account or looking if you are receiving this bonus interest rate. Because I remember at one stage we were with one bank that was offering a really high interest savings account, but we were not getting the interest rate because we were not meeting the criteria, because we were using most of our daily expense, our credit card. And so these small changes or small check can be really beneficial.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So have a look out there, see what's in the market. There are some really good bank accounts with around 5% interest rates. We currently receive 5.1% from UBank. And if you would also like to check them out for yourself, you can use our code Queenie30 and you can receive $30 if you do meet a few of their criteria in the first couple of months. But yeah, we've been with them for a while. They are really good. But there are some really good options out there as well, like ING, Macquarie, Up. So yeah, definitely have a look out there. Do your research and find which one's right for you.
Yeah, exactly. I think each bank have different pros and cons and different interest rate. So it depends on everyone's situation, but it's interesting to look at each of them and pick the right one.
So the next one is rental income. This one comes at no surprise. A lot of millionaires do own property, and one of the income streams that you can receive from property is rental income. So yeah, no surprises there. Real estate is a very popular investment choice among the wealthy.
It is not a surprise, Queenie, but can you share with us your experience renting? Because we did rent our place for like maybe a year and a half. And there is pros and cons, I will say.
Yeah, there definitely is. I would say that you have to do your research when it comes to property, you know, like it isn't always so easy, you know. I would say stocks and dividend income is a lot more passive, whereas real estate, it is a little bit more challenging, you know, like you can't just like walk into any property and just be like, okay, I'm going to buy this one. And then I'm going to become rich, you know, like you really do need to do a lot more research into it. It's probably a lot less passive as well. And you might also need like property managers to help you manage the property and make sure that you get paid on time. And a lot of the time when you do have tenants, you know, that comes with more responsibilities, like you might need to have to go and fix things. So, yeah, even though it is a good source of income, not knocking it, you know, and there are definitely people that have made a lot of money with real estate. It's something to consider. What do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we had some really, really good tenants, I think. So we are quite lucky. And our real estate agent also was really good. But there were always stuff that came up to fix. And it's like you make some money and then you have to pay fees and then you have to fix things. And then at the end of the day, this reduces a lot the gains that you make from this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rental income. Plus, like you said, it takes time, you know, to sort out things. I mean, it did not take that long because our real estate agent, they were really good and, you know, sorting out stuff without so much of our input, but still took some time to, you know, process. And on top of that, it costs money.
Yeah, it does. So something to consider, you know, if you are looking into this income stream.
Yeah. And I guess the more properties you have, it kind of like becomes easier because you know the process and you can get someone maybe to even manage all those, and that can become real passive income. While until then, you still have to manage things.
That's very true. And I guess there's also other forms of rental income. So for example, the friend that we were mentioning earlier, Mehdi, he's going to be renting out like a studio space to people. So that's also like another form of rental income, like renting out a studio. You could potentially rent out some equipment that you have that people might need, you know, like if you have camera equipment or, you know, some special like equipment that people might need, maybe even like a lawnmower. You could also do this sort of like rental income. So I guess, yeah, you can be a bit creative with rental income, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we did rent some board games at one stage on Marketplace in Gumtree, and that was making quite a bit of money. That was not passive because we still had to meet the people, but that was like free money.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. We rented like a giant Jenga set and some like outdoor games and yeah, made quite a bit of money. Like it paid for the items multiple times over. And the good thing as well is the people didn't have to purchase these items brand new and just use them once. They could rent them. So yeah, there are lots of things you can do, potentially even renting out a parking spot, renting out a spare room if you have one. You know, there are lots of ways that you can get started with this.
Yeah, I mean, in our office, we're renting a parking spot, not from the office directly, but from someone else.
Yeah, we are. Exactly.
So yeah, I guess just become creative.
Yeah, very good point. And the next one, business income. Another no surprise one here, because I feel like...
I don't think there are many surprises today, Gwynnie.
Yeah, definitely no surprises in this these income streams, but business income, a lot of millionaires do have a business. So that's why it's a good idea to have a look around your everyday life. See if there's anything that you love doing that you could potentially monetize or turn into a side hustle. Because Pablo and I, we actually started creating content as a fun little project on the side, as a side hustle, and we were able to turn it into our full-time job. So you really never know where a side hustle could take you, and a side hustle could later lead into, you know, a fully-fledged business that can actually employ you and other people potentially. So you never know.
Yeah, exactly. And the upside, you know, they are really unlimited. I feel like, you know, working for a company, you know, you always set your salary and then maybe you're going to get an extra 10% this year and then maybe another 10% the year after. But it would be hard, except if you work for commissions, to get really high in salaries. And on top of that, you're going to pay tax like quite high. If you get over like $250,000 a year, you're going to pay like, I think, up to 44%. In tax, but if you're a business, it's going to be 30% tax, you know,
yeah.
So you're going to be like less capped in terms of first how much you can make as a business, you know, how many business makes 1 million plus a year. There are probably quite a few.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the tax, you can distribute the money more easily. And I think, I mean, you need to check with your tax accountant, but there might be more tax deductible things as a business that you can claim compared to an individual.
And also working out the right tax structure for you as well. So Pablo and I, we set up a family trust and also a company a little while ago. And it was expensive setting up these things and paying accountants to do all these things. And we were a bit like, oh, is it really worth it? I don't know if we should do this. Should we just go back to what we were doing? But honestly, so grateful that we did get the right advice and we did set up our taxes in the right way, because it can save you quite a bit of money. And now that we have a family trust, it's very easy for us to be able to invest for our daughter when she's born and, you know, potentially even distribute money to her when she needs it. So, yeah, there are lots of benefits. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, and the upside of the business, you know, it takes time to set up, but once you build it, like, it really compounds over time.
It does. It does. Very good point.
What is the next not surprise, Connie?
Earned income. No, but I feel like this one is a good one because I feel like a lot of us do earned income, which is essentially the income that you earn from maybe a salary, you know, salary and wages or commissions. And, you know, it really does show that a lot of millionaires might also have a full-time job or a salary where they're actually paid, you know, a salary or a paycheck every month. But they also have these other streams of income that they can also rely on just in case something happens to that earned income. Let's say, for example, if they like get let go, then they have these other streams of income that they can also rely on to kind of like keep themselves going. What do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we just talked about at the beginning with the seven legs. You know, you have like six legs to fall back on if one of the leg is cut off. So I think the diversity here is really the key.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And I guess we can think of people like, let's say, for example, like musicians, Taylor Swift, for example. You know, there are some income streams where she goes on tours and she's like, she's working hard for that money, you know, like she's putting on these big performances, you know, she's practicing all these dance moves and all this choreography. She's traveling around. She's like putting in the work to earn that money. But then she also has her other income streams where she doesn't have to, you know, sweat, work as hard to earn that income. So I guess we can kind of take a page out of her book and some other millionaires' books and potentially look at other ways that we can still earn money, but without actually having to work for it.
Yeah, that's true. But can you expand on those other income she has?
Yes, I can, because I just made a TikTok about it, actually. So she's got her concert tours. She has merch sales in the concerts, which she doesn't have to be, you know, at the sales, like, selling the t-shirts, you know. She's got like online stores, she's got booths set up, you know, like it's all running at the concerts. She's also got royalties and commissions from her songs going out on these streaming platforms. She also does own real estate as well. So she probably rents some of these things out, or she earns capital gains from her real estate. And she probably even has a stock portfolio as well. You know, it's probably not something that you can find on the internet, but I'm sure she probably has one. Fun fact, her dad actually was a financial advisor. So I'm sure she probably has some stocks and dividends in her portfolio as well. So yeah, there are so many different ways. And, you know, even if we take those ideas, bring it back to our own life, try to build up our little income streams, you know, one day maybe they won't be so little anymore, you know?
That's the thing, is that, you know, it always starts small, but then it all like snowballed to become big.
Exactly.
So I think that's the thing to always think about, is not like where you are today, but the journey, the trajectory that you are on.
Exactly, exactly. And I would also say, to Pablo's point about working for commissions, I would say that jobs that have commissions inbuilt into their kind of like structure, it's a really good idea to have a look at those ones, because I have a friend and she's just amazing at selling. And when she first started her career, she wasn't earning that much money, you know, it wasn't like mind-blowing money, you know, like she started just like everyone else, 50,000 a year or so, 60,000, nothing crazy. But as soon as she found her kind of like her place, she found the right company, the right product, she's really good at selling this product. She's honestly making so much money these days, you know, like I'm talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars in commissions every year. You know, so it didn't start out immediately. She developed her skills over time, but it's really cool that, you know, she can actually put in the hard work and she can actually reap the benefits of what she's doing.
Yeah, for sure. I think commission, if you can, like, you know, do something like that, it can be a really good upside if you want to not really start your own business, but really put less hours into work, but really capitalize on those hours.
Yeah, exactly. And another one also would be potentially asking for equity if you work for a startup, because before I did this full-time, I actually used to work for a fintech startup, and this startup sold. One of my biggest regrets is not asking for more equity, because on my sign-on package, I was getting a really good salary, so I didn't really negotiate the equity as much as I should have. I just kind of accepted it. I got 2,000 shares. Ended up being able to cash out those 2,000 shares. Yes, I do regret it, because when I was able to cash out my shares, they accidentally sent me this list of like how much everyone in the company made. And oh my gosh, people, some people made millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know. Not that I was expecting that much, because I wasn't at the company for very long, but it can really show you that if you are working for the right startup, if you do negotiate your equity options, you know, that can pay out into really, really big money that, you know, could change your life, really.
Yeah, I think it's always, what's the worst thing that can happen? Asking for more equity. For the company, it's not really money directly as well. And they got to get you more involved into the company.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely something to look at if you do work for a startup. So the last income stream is royalties and selling rights. So we used the example of Taylor Swift earlier. She also earns royalties when songs are played on the radio, when, you know, you stream her music on Spotify or Apple Music. She earns a commission from that. It might be like very, very, very tiny, tiny amount, maybe like not even a whole cent or like fraction of a cent, you know, but if you can imagine like the big catalog of music that she's built up over her career, and, you know, it would have started out really small, I'm sure. Like she probably would have only received like a couple of dollars in royalties and commissions when she first started out. But now this is probably a massive income stream for her. So it's always good to have a look at things that maybe assets that you can create, and you can create at once, but then you can keep on, you know, earning commissions or earning royalties from those things that you created many months or many years ago.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, royalty seems like quite far ahead to think, how can you do that? But we've been approached by some companies to put our content on some platforms to get some sort of like royalties.
Yeah, that's true. Like we've created so much content over the past couple of years. We have been approached by companies to have our videos shown on their sites, and then every time somebody watches a video, we would receive some sort of like commission or royalty from that. So I guess it's like similar thing. And even thinking of Mariah Carey, you know that song, All I Want for Christmas Is You? She created that song in 1994. That was ages ago, right? Such a long time ago. But she still makes money every single year from that song. Of course, probably not all of her songs are like massive successes like that one and played every single year, but I think it's really cool to see like maybe there are some things that you can create now that might pay dividends or royalties many, many years into the future, like potentially like years. And I think it's good for us to get into that mindset. Like, is there anything that I can create now that might pay off a lot later on?
Yeah, I guess you'll never know that you create the song that 20 years later it'll still be like a popular song at Christmas, but you got to try something. And you know, the more you try, the more chance you have to get something back. So I think the more you try, the more chance you have. And that's the lesson we can learn.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess taking calculated risks, you know, like obviously don't like invest so much money creating the perfect song and like spend your whole life creating the perfect song, and then if it doesn't hit, then you just give up, you know? But like, obviously, you know, see, maybe if I spend a little bit of time on that, maybe if I try it out for $50, you know, see how it goes, then over time, who knows?
Who knows?
So, hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you so much for being with me, Pablo, sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome. Thanks for all listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and don't forget to give us a 5-star rating, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you in the next one.
Bye.